Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
And this morning, God put a very specific word in my heart. And I was praying all week, and I was asking God, what would you have me speak? And this morning, I want to speak to you about the presence of God. Someone say presence of God. So I'm going to ask you to open your Bible with me to Psalms 27. And we're going to look at verse number 4. And we're going to read it in a few different translations. Psalms 27, verse number 4. Again, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord. Psalms 27, verse number 4. This is King David, and this is what he says. He says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For he will conceal me there when trouble comes, and he will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out and reach out of reach on a high rock." Another translation reads it like this: "This one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most," someone say most, "is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfection and meditating in his temple." Let's pray one more time. Father, in the name of Jesus, have your way. God, I ask that you would minister through me. Please remove anything from me that's not of you. I ask that you would allow me to communicate this word with clarity. And I pray that you would open the hearts of your people and strengthen us, Father, to go on. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. A few weeks ago, I spoke a message and I used the introduction of a time when I used to play hide and seek with my children. And how many parents still play hide and seek with their children? Well, I kind of want to reiterate what I spoke on, and I want to use it as a bridge to go in. But what I talked about was, years ago when I used to play hide and seek with my kids, I would play hide and seek with them, and I would hide long enough to where they were like on the borderline of being scared. Come on, somebody. And what I was trying to do as I hid from them, I was trying to create a special moment that when they finally found me, that they would jump up with joy and say, "Daddy, I found you." And what I mentioned in the last message was, the whole purpose of playing hide and seek with your kids is not to hide from them so that they'll never find you. The whole purpose of playing hide and seek with them is so that they can eventually find you. Amen? And how many know that sometimes searching after God is a lot like playing hide and seek? Right? The Bible tells us in Proverbs 8:17, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me." I got good news. The good news is God is not lost. There are some people, they're like, "God, where are you? God, I need your help." Right? Who's ever been there, right? I got good news. No matter what you're going through or no matter where you're at in your life, God is not lost. And you can find him if you seek him, the Bible tells us, with all of your heart. See, today what I want to do is speak to you about having a passion for God's presence. We have to have a passion for God's presence. Being able to tap into the presence of God is a great privilege that came through a relationship with Jesus. Now, when we look at the scripture we opened up with, here you have King David. And I love the scripture because here King David is telling us about his passion. The passion of David's life was to dwell in God's presence. This is why in the scripture we opened up with, he says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this one thing do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord." See, this scripture is powerful because it gives us insight into David's passion in wanting to know God. In other words, what he was saying was, this one thing I seek, this one thing I want, is to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, how many know we can say we want to know God with our lips, but live a whole nother lifestyle that is contrary to what we say, right? But how many know we need to live a lifestyle that supports our ambition? What I mean by that is, if we say that we want to lose weight, how many know we can't go eating junk food? right? If we say that I want to be a better athlete, how many know we got to spend time practicing in whatever sport that we're trying to get better in? So when I say that I want to know God, how many know that I need to live a lifestyle that supports that ambition? So if my ambition is to know God, how do I get to know God? By reading the Bible, by spending time with prayer, by trying to seek out His word. I think we're living in the day and age where we need to seek after the presence of God. Before we go and try to find the answer to our problems on the internet, we need to learn to find the answer in His presence. We need to learn to ask God and seek Him, not on Facebook. Come on, somebody. Not our best friend, but we need to learn to go after God. See, King David was passionate about his relationship with God. It was his life pursuit. And what's interesting is if you look at in the scripture we opened up with, here David uses four different words to describe the house of God. He says he uses the word house, temple, dwelling, and sacred tent. And basically what he's talking about, he's basically saying that wherever the presence of God is, that's where I want to be. Now, I love the character of King David because King David wasn't a perfect man. How many thank God that God doesn't look for perfect people? He was a man just like you and I. As a matter of fact, David made some major mistakes in his life. He lied, he cheated, he committed murder, he even committed adultery. But yet God still used this man to do great things for His honor and His glory. See, this morning you don't have to be perfect to do great things for God. God still chose this man to make a difference in his generation. David was passionate about his relationship with the Lord. Now, in Psalms 27:8, he says, "My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, that will I seek." When you're passionate about something, how many know you go after it? Right? We're living in an evil time. Listen, church, we're living in the day and age where we need the presence of God in our lives. We need the presence of God in our households. We need the presence of God to follow us to our workplace. Come on, somebody. Somebody wave at me. Today we have a lot of things competing for our attention. And if we're not careful, we'll spend our time chasing other things that are meaningless when God is trying to communicate with us. But what I'm trying to get across to you today, if you remember anything, is this. You have to develop a passion to get in God's presence. Because right now what we don't need man-centered sermons. We don't need man-centered songs. What we need is anointed messages. What we need is anointed songs. See, a good word and a nice song can change your mood, but can't change your life. Are you hearing me? A good sermon and a good song can change your mood, but that's not what we need. What we need is a sermon, a God sermon that can transform and change a broken heart. We need a word from the Lord that is able to give us hope. What we need is the presence of God, because it's the presence of God that will bring peace into your life. It's the presence of God, listen to me, that can fill you when you're full with anxiety. It's the presence of God that can help you experience joy when you've been discouraged from life. See, David understood the power of God's presence in his life. Therefore, he made it his priority to go after God. And this is why God testified about him. Imagine that. Listen to what God said about King David. This is what after removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart." Imagine God is speaking of this man that was imperfect, that did a lot of bad things. God is saying, "This man seeks after my own heart and will do whatever I ask him." So you and I have to understand that we have a privilege to tap into God's presence. When Jesus died on the cross, he not only died for the forgiveness of sins, but Jesus' death also provided direct access to the presence of God. See, what we need to learn is to pray for ourselves. Because sometimes it's like, can you pray for me? No, you know what we need to do? We need to learn to pray for ourselves. Right? Hey, can you pray for my family? Yes, I can pray for your family, but there's nothing more powerful than when a father, when a mother, when a husband, when a wife prays for their family. You have been given access to the presence of God. Matthew 27, 50, 51 says this, and when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rock split. In the Old Testament, what used to happen was the presence of God wasn't readily available to everyone, and only certain priests could enter into his presence. So in the temple, there was a thick, large curtain, and if you weren't a priest, you couldn't enter into that place. So watch this. When Jesus died on the cross and he committed his spirit, what happened is the Bible tells us that thick curtain that used to separate people from God's presence was now broken and gave us direct access to the presence of the God. Because prior to Jesus' death, only the high priest could enter into the inner room or the most holy place. But God has given you access. What some of you feel when you walk into the church, you're feeling the presence of God. Listen, Wednesday I came in, and lately God's been doing something in my heart. And I came in at about 6:30, and I sat right there in that seat. And I just felt the power of anybody who was here on Wednesday. I mean, I felt the power of God so overwhelming. It was interesting. Nobody was even really talking. It wasn't even service. And I just sat there and I was quiet. And God was just ministering to my heart about how much he loved me. And I felt this peace that I haven't felt in a long time. And what God was reminding me was that I have access to that peace because he died on the cross for me. I don't got to live in my anxieties. I don't got to give into my problems. When my problems overwhelm me, what I have to do is find a way to get into his presence. This is why some of you, when you're going through it, the last thing you want to do is not come to church. Well, I didn't feel like it, Pastor. I was going through it. Well, why would you stay away from the presence of God? Are you hearing me? Can I say those things? I know that nowadays we have some problems with seeker friendly. Listen, we got to speak truth. Are you hearing me? What I'm trying to say is you got to learn to get into the presence of God. Now, this presents a problem because, you know, the question that many probably are asking, well, how do I get into God's presence? Well, you have to have the proper climate. Someone say climate. You know, here in Washington, the climate can change on you on a dime, right? Only in Washington do you have to look at the weather forecast to figure out what you're going to wear that day. Come on, somebody. Just last week, right? Last week, we had, like, I think Monday through Wednesday was in the 70s. And then when I left to drop off my kids on Friday, it was like almost 50 degrees and there was frost on my windshield. You know what's interesting about frost and climates is that when the humidity outside and the temperature are just right, you know, frost can appear on your windshield within an instance. What is interesting about frost, I did some studying on frost because I'm kind of fascinated by those things, right? You ever done that? I walked out and I was like, man, it was hot yesterday, but my whole windshield was full of frost. So I did some studying. Let me tell you some things that I found out about frost. What's interesting about frost is this. Frost is made up of million ice crystals formed from the moisture in the air. What is even more fascinating is that these crystallized waters known as frost have always existed in another dimension. We simply cannot see it, but when the proper conditions and climates are just right, frost will appear out of thin air. So I did some studying, and I was reading an article on some things that scientists found about frost. And let me read to you what this article says. It says, these beautiful ice crystals have existed forever out in invisible space, just waiting for a cool window pane and cold day to bring them into visibility. These patterns are not exclusive to one land. They appear in all lands. They exist somewhere in the infinite treasuries of God and are instantly available anywhere the conditions are in alignment to bring them forth. All the components for frost are already present at any given time, but they exist in another dimension until certain conditions are met. In that moment, frost will instantly appear. So in other words, what scientists have found that frost exists right now, but because the climate isn't right, it won't show up. Now I was thinking about that because that's a lot like God. God is readily available in any land, at any time, and he's in a different dimension. But in order to experience the presence of God, the climate of your heart has to be right. The condition of, you got to want to know God. You have to want to feel the presence of God. You have to have the right heart to enter in. Now, God will make himself known to us because of his grace and his mercy when we don't deserve it. But listen to me. In order to tap into the presence of God, you have to have a broken heart that longs to know him. Are you hearing me this morning? You may not feel or see him, but when the proper climate is created, he will fall. Anybody who has a strong prayer life will tell you, I remember when I was first learning to pray, they would tell me things like, you got to learn to pray, Eric. And I remember I was like, well, how do I pray? No one really taught me to pray. But so what I did one morning is I remember I got up early and I said, I'm going to put on some music. I woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I didn't know how to pray. I got on my knees and I just played some light music and I just started talking to the Lord. 5 minutes went by. I didn't feel anything. 10 minutes went by, and I'm just talking to God about my family. God, and think about this for a second. People are like, well, how can you pray for an hour? How can you pray for a half hour? Well, think about this. I got 3 kids and a wife. If I prayed 10 minutes for Joey alone, if I prayed 10 minutes for Elijah, if I prayed 10 minutes for my wife, I'm already at 30 minutes. Are you hearing me? And some of us got some family members that need more than 10-minute prayers. Are you hearing me? I was a person that needed an hour worth of prayer. Come on now. But I remember praying, and I was praying. Anybody who has a prayer life will tell you, as you begin to pray and as you call unto God, suddenly the presence of God could fall in your room. You don't have to wait to come to church to experience the presence of God in your life. In order to experience the presence of God, we have to develop a passion to seek him with all of our heart. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. See, this is the thing. Some people are like, well, I've been seeking God. Yeah, but have you been seeking him diligently? Right? One prayer on Monday, just because we don't get the answer on Tuesday, doesn't mean that's diligent. But diligence is when we pray for something 3 months down the line when God still hasn't answered. Are you hearing me? We got to learn to pray to God diligently. Listen, church, we can create the right climate within our house. Our houses need the presence of God in them. So how do we experience the presence of God? I want to give you 3 simple, because there are things that you can do to experience the presence of God. Number one, in order to experience the presence of God, you can experience the presence of God by praying. Someone say praying. Deuteronomy 4:7 says, what other nation is so great as to have their God near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? Listen, prayer is how we communicate with God. Prayer is the way that God reveals himself to us. God's presence has a tendency to show up when people take time out of their day to seek him, right? Prayer isn't a mystical thing, right? But I think that God wants his church to go back to prayer. This is why we've changed our Wednesday nights, right? We're not going to have prayer be a side ministry. We're going to have prayer be the foundational ministry. Are you hearing me? We want to teach you to pray. We want to teach you to grab a hold of God, because I believe there are things that happen when we pray that would not have happened had we not prayed. Are you hearing me? Jeremiah 29:13-14 says, for you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So here in this scripture, the Bible is telling us that you will call on me and pray to me and I will listen to you. Listen, God wants to listen to you, but we have to take time out of our busy days to pray. Some of us got to shake up our routine. Say shake up. Right? We got to learn to pause. Listen, this week I challenge you. Wake up earlier than you normally do to simply spend some time with God. If you're not a morning person, that's okay. But make time at night if you have to. I know for me, I've told you my story. My kids have to be at school by 7, or they got to be at the bus stop by 7:40, right? So if I'm waking up at 7 o'clock, how many know their morning isn't good? Because I'm grumpy. So in order for them not to have a bad morning, what I have to do is I either got to get up at 5:30 or 6 o'clock. I got to have a warm cup of coffee. Come on, somebody. I got to pray for a little bit. And then when I go wake them up, it's like, wake up, baby. You got to get up. Versus if I wake up at 7 o'clock when they got to be at the bus stop at 7:40. Get up. You're going to miss your bus. Hurry up. Get your clothes on. I already... Parents, work with me. Right? But I want to challenge you to get up early this week. Earlier than normal, and set some time aside to pray to your Father and speak to Him about the things that are going on in your life, that are going on at your job, that are going on in whatever you're involved in. Because listen, someone around you needs you to pray for their situation. Are you hearing me? You have access to the presence of God, and you can experience it through prayer. Listen, if your house is full of anxiety, then prayer needs to be your main priority. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. Listen, prayer is the very thing that gives us access to the Word of God. When our life is full of chaos and anxiety, the Bible tells us what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to, by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving in our heart, we're supposed to find God, and then we will experience peace. So you can experience the presence of God through prayer. Number two, how do you experience the presence of God? Listen, church, you got to learn to worship with gladness. Someone say worship. Psalms 97, 1 and 2 says, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. See, worshiping with God through song is one way we can acknowledge his glory. And according to this scripture, when we sing joyfully, when we can experience his presence. See, my heart's desire is that worship before service is not something that's weird. Like, some of you look at me like I'm crazy when I'm up here. But I don't care, because they looked at David the same way. The Bible tells us King David, when he brought back the Ark of the Covenant, the Bible says, and now I'm a visual guy, and I picture things, but the Bible says he was dancing violently. I don't know what he was doing, but he was like, right? The Bible says he was dancing so crazy that his clothes started falling off. Right? If I came up here and I started dancing, right? Some of you, right? Right? If all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and I'm all breakdancing, right? Some of you would be like, oh, what's wrong with Pastor? He's crazy. He's showing off. I'm not showing off. I'm experiencing the presence of God. I don't care what you think, because God saved my life. God changed me. See, some of us, we got to get excited about what God did in our lives and stop playing church. Stop acting like we got to be all quiet. Listen, I'm grateful for what he brought me out of. Right? Sometimes we get all conservative. The Bible says that when David was dancing, his wife despised him. She was embarrassed by him, but he didn't care, because his life's pursuit was to engage in the presence of God. Something happens when we come before the Lord with thanksgiving in our heart. Something happens when we audibly lift our voice with singing unto the Lord. Psalms 102 says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. This is what the Bible tells us. So if you wonder why we put emphasis on music, why we put emphasis on singing, it's not because it's a preliminary to the word. It's what he's worth. I praise because of what he did in my life. Are you hearing me? See, we worship God for who he is, but praise is about giving thanks. Listen, I don't know about you. Listen, some of you parents, you really got to praise God for your children. Right? We got to praise God for our children. This morning I woke up, I praised God that some of you showed up. Come on, somebody. Huh? Let me let you into my world for a second. It's kind of nerve-wracking. Right? We start at 12:45. I ain't gonna lie. If you notice, I don't even sit in the middle anymore. Right? I used to sit here at 12:40. There was a time I would sit here. 12:45, we'd be starting service. I didn't even want to look behind me. There was like five people. Come on, somebody. I don't even sit there anymore because I don't even want to look. God, please bring them in. Come on, somebody. 12:45, nobody's here. We start worship. I come up here to take the mic, and I'm like, whoa, where did everybody come from? But I praise God that you're here. I praise God for your family. I praise God for your children. I praise God for what he's doing in your life. Are you hearing me? If I passed around the mic and some of you told us your story, we would look at you different and we would praise God for what he did for you. Some of us got to get excited and we got to let our worship be made known. Listen to me, parents. We got to make worshiping look fun. Right? Right? Do you imagine? Our kids hate worship. Well, why? Maybe we hate worship. There's some people literally... We're going to be late. One time I was counseling. Hey, well, he's always late to church. He doesn't care, blah, blah, blah. And, right, well, and you know what he tells me, Pastor? He says, well, it's okay. They're only doing worship. The word doesn't start. Now, I didn't rebuke him in front of his wife, but later I pulled him aside because I don't believe in that. Let me talk to you for a second. What is wrong with you? And I told him, you got chaos all in your house. You're missing praise and worship. You need a miracle in your life. And you don't understand the value of praise and worship. Are you hearing me? The Bible clearly tells us that when we worship the Lord with gladness, we will enter into his presence. Maybe, just maybe, the reason why some of us aren't experiencing his presence, because we don't come to church with gladness. Do you know that thanksgiving is the one thing God can't give you? Think about that for a second. He made you. But he can't put thanksgiving into your heart. That needs to come from you. The Bible says to come to church with thanksgiving in your heart. See, what some of us do is we come to church, but we forget thanksgiving at our house. So therefore, the music is playing, right? The presence of God is here, but we're thinking about the game, or we're thinking about what we got to do next week. And because we're just trying to ease our conscience, and unfortunately, a lot of people come to church because they want to ease their conscience and they feel like that's the one thing I got to do for God. No, we got to come to church with thanksgiving in our heart so that we can experience the presence of God. There is a difference, listen to me, of worshiping God out of routine and worshiping God with gladness. We need to learn to worship with gladness. Worship, listen to me, sets the right climate and proper atmosphere for God to show up. Now, I'll be coming to a close, but in Acts chapter 16, I spoke on this on Wednesday. The Bible tells us that there were two men of God. They were traveling. They were speaking. You can start playing. The Bible tells us that as they went, they were preaching the gospel. They got thrown into jail. The Bible tells us that Paul and Silas, after they were beaten, after they were flogged, they were put in jail. Now the Bible tells us that at midnight, when everyone was still asleep or awake, I don't know what they were doing, but I want you to think about this. They were chained. They weren't just in a cell, they were chained. Right? They just got whooped. And in spite of what they're going through, the Bible says that at midnight they started singing hymns. And everyone else was listening. Think about that for a second. I don't know what it would have been like, but it was dirty down there. If you do your study, it was a nasty place. And they're sitting there, beaten. Paul looks at his disciple Silas, and he smiles. He says, "You thought it would be easy, didn't you?" And they're there in pain. All of a sudden, "I just want to bless your name. I just want to make you glad." Everyone's listening. "I just want to move your heart, God. Give you all I am." These men had just been beaten. But the Bible says this: about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and at once all the prisoners' doors flew open, and watch this, everybody's chains fell off. Listen, church, some of you have to bring gladness to church so that when you worship, it may not be for you. But because of your gratitude for God, just maybe, Ever's worshiping, I'm brand new and my life is falling apart. I'm here this morning, but I'm struggling. And I don't know why, but I hear the singing and maybe I'm bound. Maybe I have bondage in my life, but the Bible tells us that when they sang, the chains fell off of everybody. Listen to me, when you sing, chains, bondages are broken in the lives of other people. This is why if you're the head of the household, you got to learn to worship in your house. I walk around my house and I sing because listen, I know the day is coming where my children are going to grow old enough to where they're going to experience the world and they're going to have to overcome temptation on their own. Daddy can't save them. At the end of the day, they got to make the personal decision to make the Lord their savior. And what I have to do right now that they're young, I got to teach them that serving God is the best thing that our family ever did. I got to teach them that it's beautiful to worship. I got to teach them that when I don't know what to do, I have this little room in my house that I go to. And when I come out of that room, Daddy knows what to do. Are you hearing me this morning? We got to learn to worship with gladness. John 4:23, I'll be closing. It says, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. You want to be a disciple? You got to learn to worship in spirit and in truth. And break average. Break your routine. Break what you thought church looked like. Break everything that you ever thought. And learn to worship God with your heart. Are you hearing me this morning? God has a tendency to show up when we worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the Bible tells us those are the ones that He's seeking. Psalm 16:11 says, joy will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. See, who would love an overwhelming supply of joy? Right? I get mad easy. Come on, somebody. I'm impatient. The Bible tells us it's in your presence there is fullness of joy. Lastly, and I'll make this one quick. So number one, if you want to experience the presence of God, you gotta start praying. Number two, you got to learn to worship with gladness. And number three, third slide, please. Number three, you have to be contrite and humble in spirit. Someone say contrite. The word contrite literally means to be crushed and broken in spirit. This can also be referred to as something called brokenness. Something happens when a man and woman is broken before the Lord. In other words, you're crushed in spirit, not out of in a negative way, but we got to learn to walk in brokenness. In other words, we're so overwhelmed with gratefulness because of what He did for me. I have to live a specific way. And I experience His presence. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 57, and I truly end here. Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits in eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. Watch this. With him also that is contrite and humble in spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. The Bible tells us that God inhabits the holy place, but He also lives within the person that is contrite and humble in spirit. We got to learn to humble ourselves before God. Psalms 51:16, here's David again, for you do not desire sacrifice or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. See, David figured it out late in his life. He had it all wrong. He was doing things for God because he thought that's what he was supposed to do. But here he says, God, wait a minute. You don't want something from me. If not, I would have given it to you. But what you desire is a broken spirit and a contrite heart, one you will not despise. Listen, church, this morning, you can experience the presence of God at your house. But you got to start praying. You got to learn to worship with gladness. And you got to be contrite and humble. We got to break pride. We got to break pride. The pride of this life. Listen, nothing is owed to us. Sometimes we walk around like people owe us something. Or because we've been hurt in the past, the thing that protects us now is our pride. You can't talk to me like that. Oh no, I'm never going to let anybody do this to me. Listen, let that go, because there's no strength in that. That is a false deception. There is no strength. The Bible says that his power is made perfect in our weakness. Therefore, I can be weak. I can be humble. I can admit when I'm wrong. This morning, as you stand with me,